Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. So today we have with us Jason Silverman. He is the director of film, the director of the Cinematheque at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts, here in Santa Fe. Welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So we're going to talk about all sorts of things having to do with film and independent film and films that you've been working on. But first, we just want to remind people that this is the fourth day of a one-week-long KSFR fun drive. And if you want to give us a call, the number is 428-1393, 428-1393. And if you do that, you will be supporting KSFR, you will be supporting the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, you'll be supporting public media, and you'll be supporting the independent, non-commercial voices in Santa Fe and, by extension, in New Mexico and in the United States. It's very, very important. We don't do commercials. We do these little underwriting announcements. We do very few of them. There's a limit on how many we can do because this is explicitly non-commercial radio. 428-1393 is the number to call in the 505 area code if you support non-commercial radio. And I know you do, Jason.
Yeah, pitch me. I got my checkbook here.
Ah, Jason, will you make a donation to KSFR?
Why?
I just told you why.
How much?
You decide within your means. How about the equivalent of 1 hour worth of your work, wherever you work, wherever you get paid?
Okay. That's all?
Yeah, or twice as much. As much as you
twice
want.
As much would probably be a little have a little more impact.
Twice as much will have more impact.
I work for a nonprofit here, so an hour's worth.
Right, so it's slightly more than the Santa Fe living wage. But, you know, this is what I've been telling people. That's kind of a formula. Like, if you work as a, let's say, talk show host at Fox News, you could give a $40,000 contribution because that's what you make in 1 or 2 hours. If you work as a dishwasher, then maybe you want to give $10. What, you know, and anywhere in between.
Yeah. I'd miss KSFR if it wasn't around.
We would all miss KSFR if it weren't around.
We need it.
Yep. 428-1393 is the number. Look, he wrote a check. Thank you so much. He wrote a very generous check. 428-1393. So let's get the telephones ringing and support the Radio Cafe and, frankly, support my ability to continue working because this is my only job and I take it very seriously and people have said good things about it over the years. I've been doing this for 7 years and we need your help. It's been a little bit slow this morning.
Why do you do it? What motivates you? I mean, it's obviously not the money. You don't get paid a lot.
It's not the money. If it were the money, I'd be in a different business. And that, but I'm not, money's not really my thing as much, but I do it because I find it incredibly delightful and fascinating to bring so many different guests to KSFR, to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. There's so much going on in this town, and there are so many ideas that come through this town that people are bringing, and talking about ideas in a way that is thoughtful and where people are listening to each other and, you know, above all, where I'm listening to them and transmitting that to the listening area, I just think it's important work. It's really fun. It's never boring, and I hope it's the same way for our listeners.
And you don't get it anywhere else, do you? I mean, I think the reporter and Pasta Tiempo do a great job.
They do a wonderful job. They're print media. It's a different medium.
Yeah, and having the opportunity to have people talk about what they're deeply invested in, what they care about, and having someone listen and have, you know, deepen the dialogue and, you know, having this engaged audience participate, it's amazing. You know, people don't get this. Towns this size don't have this kind of radio often.
Not often. It's true. 428-1393, 428-1393. The phones are a little quiet, but we did have a call just now, so let's get the phones ringing, 428-1393. Now, Jason, you have been working for quite a long time on a film project about the Senegalese filmmaker Ousmane Sembène.
That's right.
And this is something. It's not the finished cut, right? But it's, there's a screening on Monday, Valentine's Day, at 6:30 at the CCA.
Well, we got one of the New Visions Awards from the New Mexico Film Office this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you to the state for supporting independent film, which does the same kind of work that you're doing in a different realm.
Indeed.
Yeah, and our service to state is doing a series of 6 lectures. That's me and my filmmaking partner, Samba Gajigo, who is a Senegalese scholar. And the first one is going to be Samba's lecture on Semben. It'll be filled with clips and information. Very entertaining at 6:30 on Monday at the CCA. And it's free.
Excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, Semben's an amazing, amazing man. He was.
Yeah, tell us about
him. Yeah, he was kicked out of school in the 6th grade. And he was kicked out of school because he was a rebel. It was a French colonial school. This was during the era of French control of most of West Africa. And he refused to sing the French national anthem. And the headmaster slapped him. And Semben headbutted the headmaster.
Nice.
And he was kicked out of school. That was the end of his formal education. And he became a manual laborer. And for the next 20 years, he was a manual laborer. He broke his back working on the docks in Marseille, where he had emigrated to. And while he was recuperating, he decided he wanted to join the freedom fight for West Africa, for Africa. Africa was trying to gain its independence from the European nations. And so he taught himself how to write. He decided rather than picking up guns or becoming a politician, he wanted to become a storyteller for New Africa. So he, you know, this manual labor taught himself how to write. And he wrote 3 key novels for about African independence. And when he returned home to Africa after independence, he realized that the writing wasn't going to cut it. You know, he wanted to reach an African audience.
Yeah, because not that many people are in Africa are going to read his novels.
Exactly. So he taught himself how to make movies, which was a phenomenal thing to even imagine because no African had made movies. There was no crew, there was no equipment, there was no expertise, there was no track record. And he didn't want to just make movies, he wanted to make African movies. So he basically had to invent an African cinema. And he did. And for the next 40 plus years, he made really extraordinary films that won awards all around the world. And he, in essence, invented a new kind of cinema.
Now, his filmmaking, apparently, and I didn't know this, was so influential that American directors and European directors have been watching him and have been influenced by him for years.
Well, there's in the late 60s, some Argentinian filmmakers wrote a manifesto called Towards the Third Cinema. And they talked about the first cinema, which was the for-profit cinema of Hollywood. And the second cinema, which was the kind of art-driven cinema of Europe. And they talked about how a third cinema was necessary and evolving. And that third cinema was kind of, it was an activist cinema. And it was a cinema that was made outside of commercial realms. And a cinema that was supposed to engage audiences and steer them towards revolution. You know, Marxist cinema.
Right.
Semben basically invented that cinema, you know, 6 or 8 years before these guys wrote this manifesto. He was already doing that. So he, in essence, imagined a different role that movies could play in culture. And, you know, he's the greatest independent filmmaker who ever lived in terms of degree of difficulty and level of achievement. He's also an incredible media activist, which is why it's interesting to talk about him during the fund drive. You know.
Right.
He did the same kind of work that KSFR, you know, does, which is to tell the kinds of stories that weren't being told by, you know, the mainstream storytelling, in the mainstream storytelling culture.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. If you want to make that contribution right now to KSFR, it would make me so happy, it would make KSFR so happy, because this is the time where we actually need the phone to ring, and we need to basically stay on the air for another 4 to 6 months until we have another fund drive. We're really pretty much totally hand-to-mouth. For better or worse, that's how most public radio stations are. We're just going along. We do not have a big endowment. We don't have big commercial donors. We don't even have big non-commercial donors. We have a few, but not enough to keep us going. We absolutely rely on listeners. That's why it's called Listener Supported Public Radio. 428-1393, 428-1393. So please give a call right now and make a donation. So let's hear more about Senbin. He died, what, 4 years ago?
2007.
2007, and he lived to a ripe old age. He was in his 80s when he died. When you say he was a media activist, what did he do?
Well, he grew up in, the French and the European nations, the colonizing project started with military incursion, but really it was mostly a cultural project. There's a novelist who writes about the canon, C-A-N-N-O-N, and the canon, C-A-N-O-N.
Right.
First we conquered with the canon, then we conquered with the canon.
Right.
And the idea being that storytelling, that literature, newspapers, radio stations, the school system particularly, the religious structures, were really what was needed to fully conquer, a foreign nation. And so that was the project of the Europeans in Africa. Senbin started recognizing that in his 20s, and that's what he was providing an alternative to. So he wanted to use the media, which was, an incredible innovation at that point. Just, him imagining that he wanted to be a filmmaker in Africa in the early 1960s, kind of like me imagining I wanted to, play in the NBA. I mean, just like, it's almost beyond conception, right? And so he not only made movies, he started the first Wolof language newspaper in Senegal. He created a filmmakers union. He did all kinds. He helped start the first film festival in Africa. He did all kinds of things that would build. He wanted to build structures that would support African storytelling.
And did people get it right away? I mean, did they see what he was doing and say, yes, we want to be part of this?
The intellectuals got it, and the general population never even knew. Because you can make the movies, but it doesn't mean they're going to get to the movie theaters. And in fact, the Senegalese government banned some of his movies because they were too radical. And even when they were released in really limited ways because the French still controlled the theater chains after independence. So it was tough. And it remains difficult for people. Right now, the Hollywood structure, and that includes all of the entertainment conglomerates generally control global storytelling, to the point where local storytelling has been obscured. And
that's true in New Mexico, and it's true in Senegal in the 1960s.
Yeah, and it's true more and more every week. And, from everywhere around the world, local storytelling traditions are being swamped by, these international conglomerates. And I love Hollywood movies. I'm not putting Hollywood movies down, but there are...
Except some of them.
Yeah, some of them, yeah. I like some more than others. But, the point is that traditional storytelling is suffering as a result. And so that's what Senbin did. That's why I call him a great media activist, is because he saw that he needed to... He said that Africa would disappear if we didn't reclaim our stories.
428-1393, 428-1393 is the number. Give us a call if you like what you're hearing. Give us a call if you care about media remaining local. I mean, when I think about how crazy it is that KSFR, in a good way crazy, the KSFR is able to even exist in the midst of this utterly corporate landscape and this utterly commercial landscape where, I heard somebody once, I was talking to a friend some years ago who worked at a magazine where he was writing articles. He was writing articles on technology, and he was talking once to the advertising department, and he got into an argument with a guy from the advertising department who basically said, look, the purpose of this magazine is to sell ads, and your articles are nothing more or less than content in a magazine whose purpose is to sell ads. And he said, and my friend said, no, this magazine is about the kind of articles that I write, and we sell ads in order to keep it going. And the guy said, no, that's not true. It's just about making money. That was one example. And you know, he had to keep working there. And it was, in a sense, a hostile environment to actual thought. And that's the problem, or can be the problem. There's probably a few exceptions here and there. But that, you know, like the New Yorker or something like that. But that's basically the problem with commercial media.
Well, good content can survive the system. But the system, the advertising exec is essentially right, because the corporation that owns that magazine, their charter is to maximize profit. So good content can be profitable. But the bottom line is that these are profit-driven entities. Whereas KSFR and the CCA and the Santa Fe Opera and Little Globe and all the amazing social action organizations and arts organizations and independent media organizations that exist in northern New Mexico exist in order to create community, to make connections with people, to expand people's minds, to do that kind of work. And that's a different core mission.
Exactly. And it's a mission that really is about, like, when you think about it, why are you living? Is the only purpose of your life to make money, or is the purpose of your life to do the things that you do, to serve, to be part of community, to accomplish something, and you've got to make money to do it, but that's the vehicle rather than the end.
Right, right. Yeah, no, and you know, and when you said it's amazing that KSFR is still on the air, it's actually amazing to me that it's not, doesn't get more support than it actually does. Because I know how much people value these independent voices, and you're not asking much.
We're not asking much.
Yeah.
We're asking for an hour or two of your wages two or three times a year. And for those who think, well, I should be able to get this for free, you know, analyze that. What is it that you're really thinking?
No media is for free. This is one of the fallacies. You know, media is paid for by advertising. Advertising is, you know, if you go out and buy a tank of gas at Allsup's, you know, generally corporations spend about 10% of their budget on marketing. So you can just figure, you know, you're spending $50 on that tank of gas. $5 is going towards marketing, which is basically going
towards selling you some more of that gas.
Exactly. Which
and
is going
getting you to getting you to think that that corporation is not in any way involved in climate change.
All of those things. And it's a hidden cost that we all pay every time we pull out our credit card or we pull out our wallet and we're at a store. And that is one, you know, the storytelling machinery that exists in this culture is driven by, you know, consumer purchases. So we each spend thousands of dollars on broadcast and advertising each year without even recognizing it.
That's right.
And these are generally messages that work against our common interests. Whereas KSFR and, again, these arts organizations and the Santa Fe Reporter and the New Mexican, which are, you know, independently owned, independent entities, all of them are much more motivated to make Santa Fe a better place.
428-1393 is the number, 505-428-1393. Get the phones ringing, ladies and gentlemen, please, especially if you haven't made a donation yet, or if you haven't made a donation ever. It's very important. And we have a report from the control room.
Yes, indeed. I've been listening to you too, Jason, and you, Mary Charlotte, and I want to, you know, plead with all of you out there listening to this. If you agree with the conversation you've just heard, you need to give us a call right now, 428-1393. We have a couple thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Excellent.
And also to remind our listeners that everything that you donate today to KSFR will be matched by the New Mexico Bank and Trust 10% and given to the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. So keep that in mind as well. You're benefiting two nonprofits by your contribution today. We need to thank Gerald Freed and Roberto Capocci.
Capocci.
Capocci. I knew you'd know that. Why did I know that? Okay.
40, because it's Italian, and I'm Italian, just saying. 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. Thanks to both of you, but that's not very many calls. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, get the telephone ringing. Give us a call, because it's no joke. If you don't support public radio, it does not stay on the air. And there are plenty of places that have lost their radio stations, that have lost their local media. We're fast approaching, if not already in, a media crisis.
It'll feel good to give money to something that you care about. I mean, I wish I had a little more money so I could give a little more of it away.
Yep.
It feels good. And you know, again, Santa Fe is a special place because of entities like KSFR. We need to support them and make a little sacrifice and pull out that checkbook.
428-1393, 428-1393. And I'm going to turn it over to Mary Lynn for just a second, because we need to hear from one or two of our beloved underwriters. We'll be right back. And we're back here in the Santa Fe Baking Company. 428-1393 is the number for the pledge drive. Now, we're talking to Jason Silverman, who is the director of the Cinematheque at the CCA. You've been doing that for a long time.
Feels like it. No, yeah.
You've been involved in independent media, independent cinema for a long time.
Yeah, before this, I was the artistic director at Taos Talking Pictures, and right. we had a whole media activism strand, which got me all, you know, into all this stuff.
And you know a great deal about how independent cinema works as opposed to Hollywood cinema. Let's say an independent filmmaker, well, like you, wants to make a feature-length documentary, as you've been doing. You aren't going to get a whole, you know, $20 million from a studio. How do you do it?
Well, I think it's basically how you do what you do. You just kind of, you have an idea of something that's important. You stick with it, you learn how to talk about it, so you get more and more support. And it becomes, it's a passion project. It has to be a passion project, because there's not, the bottom line usually doesn't work on these projects. You do it because it's meaningful to you, and it brings pleasure, and you're doing something that's important, you think is going to make the world a better place.
What are some of the films that you've seen that have changed your life or changed the way you see?
Oh, the film question.
The film question.
Well, you know, I watch so many movies, and all of them, I find so many movies, you know, move me in one way or another. I just got back from Sundance, and I saw this incredible film called Life in a Day, which was a YouTube feature film. Have you heard about this one?
Uh-uh.
Well, they put out a call for entries saying, send us your slice of life video under 3 minutes that was shot on the day of July 24th, 2010.
Oh, my goodness.
And they expected to get, you know, 6,000 or 8,000 submissions. And they got 80,000 submissions, 4,500 hours worth of material. And these genius filmmakers, one of them's Kevin MacDonald, who did Touching the Void, cut it into this incredible kind of, it's a travelogue in one sense, but it's a travelogue more about people's personal experiences than anything else. And it was just, you know, amazing to see what people are doing with their cameras out in the world.
428-1393. So that, okay, but what about things you saw when you were a young person?
When I was a young person? You know, I really didn't get into kind of, you know, art cinema until I was in college. I mean, I watched same commercial stuff, you know, that everyone else did, and, you know, Die Hard 1 through 4 or whatever. I sat in on a class on Italian cinema when I was a sophomore, and I started realizing that the camera could be used for kind of expressive artistic purposes. And that was the moment. It was like a light bulb moment where I said, hey, this is a storytelling medium in ways that I didn't really understand before. And all of a sudden, the idea that you can do different things with the camera other than to tell the kinds of stories I saw in the multiplex or on TV, it was a radicalizing moment for me. So since then, I've always been interested in different ways to tell stories using the moving image.
Now, and you're teaching a class on storytelling, cinematic storytelling, digital storytelling.
Well, I'm doing my New Visions lecture, which will be March 2nd at the Santa Fe University. on, it's called Storytelling 3.0.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically some of the stuff we're talking about now. It's the idea that storytelling was once entirely local. It would be me talking to you, or it would be an actor talking to an audience, or someone sitting around a fire telling a story. That's Storytelling 1.0.
Right.
Storytelling 2.0, the birth date of that is the birth of the printing press. When all of a sudden, one person could tell a story to many people. You know, the age of mechanical reproduction.
Right.
That phase kicks in around the 1890s when cinema is invented. And all of a sudden, not only are you telling stories, but you're telling stories in a way that are incredibly impactful, that hits you in a visceral level. You know, the movies can impact you emotionally in ways that other stories can't. And it was a big business, so that, you know, Hollywood can make these incredibly elaborate films and ship them around the world. So the idea of one entity telling stories to the many really explodes at that point.
I wanted you to continue, and I also want to let people know that we're just under $400 for this hour. We want to get to $1,000. That's the goal for the hour. So if you can help us do that, give a call, 428-1393. It's not a good day if we don't achieve $1,000 in the hour. Yeah, make Jason look good.
I want to get invited back.
You'll be invited back anyway, because the work you're doing at the CCA is extremely important. But go on.
Oh, so Storytelling 3.0 starts like maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little earlier, when consumer-grade cameras and YouTube and things that allow people to use the tools of Storytelling 2.0 for local connection. This is my concept, you know, in the next generation, people will use cameras and editing systems new means of distribution to tell stories locally. So if you're living in an apartment complex and you need to tell a story about that apartment complex to your neighbors, you can use the camera to do that. That
right.
wasn't a possibility 15 years ago. The tools were too expensive.
Right.
We're going to see a whole new way of storytelling evolve in the next generation.
It's interesting how these high-tech media have allowed us to circle back to the local, and how these sort of crazy anonymous, for example, social media have allowed people to create a revolution, or what seems to be trying to be a revolution in Egypt and in other countries.
Yeah.
And the friendships and associations of like-minded people and people with the same interests, you know, whether that be, you know, salsa dancing or violin string makers or people who hunt, you know, some kind of animal. These people can communicate with each other worldwide. They communicate with each other locally through these media. It's very interesting. And one of the pitfalls of that can be that you only talk to and listen to people who are just like you, whose ideas are just like your own.
The other pitfall is considering virtual community real community, because I don't.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear from my high school friends and see the picture of their babies, but it's not the same thing as sitting down and looking someone in the eye and having a real human exchange. And so that's the other pitfall.
Looking into your webcam on Skype.
I mean, it's, you know, this the idea of connection is changing radically too. And I believe what you and I are doing here, you know, we're looking at each other. There's a chemical exchange. I think that's what the world needs more of rather than less of. So I think as long as Facebook and Twitter and YouTube are being used not just to give the illusion of connection, but to actually bring people together in physical spaces, that's the goal, I think.
428-1393 is the number. Phones are a little bit slow today. They're quite slow today. This is the fourth day of the KSFR Fun Drive. We're only doing 1 week, so as not to do this thing which we used to do, which was set a goal and then just keep on slogging by until we meet it. We're asking you to set that goal. 428-1393 is the number. 428-1393. You tell us what your goal is for public radio. Do you want us to stay on for another week? Do you want us to stay on for another month? Do you want us to stay on for another year? Your contribution will actually tell us what that is, what it is that you want. Oh, we have a giveaway. Jason, you have very kindly made a donation on behalf of the CCA to our listeners who make a contribution.
for a $75 contribution, we will give you a CCA punch card, which is valued at $65. It'll allow you to go to 8 movies. So all of that money will go to KSFR, and you'll get to see some movies. And we'll do 2 of those.
Excellent. 4281393. And if the person isn't sure what you're talking about, just have them write it down, because this is something that Jason just told me right now, and the people in the pledge room may or may not know this. So if you make a contribution of
$75,
you get a punch card, and you get to go see a bunch of movies at the CCA.
8 movies.
8 movies. Awesome. 428-1393. So, storytelling, commercial media, KSFR, and keeping independent media going. What about the film festival world? I mean, the way the forum for independent cinema at this point in history does seem to be film festivals more than anything else. Is that right?
The art house theaters, the specialty theaters, and the film festivals are big, and increasingly digital media is big. More and more, you've got this expanding palette of menu of films that are available for download or for video on demand. And so in that sense, it's a golden age for independent cinema. The money's still not working out.
Right.
But again, something like the Santa Fe Film Festival or the other film festivals are around town, and the Screen and the CCA Cinematheque, these are events and places that get people together physically. And I think that's really, really important.
Are people still going out to see movies?
People are still going out to see movies, but it becomes harder and harder work because there's more and more competition. There's more enticement to stay home on your couch than ever before.
Right.
And so we're doing pretty well. We had one of our best years in a decade last year.
What was your biggest movie last year at the CCA?
Well, we did a few bigger ones. Single Man did really well.
With
Colin Firth.
What a great movie.
Yeah. Exit to the Gift Shop did really well. And, we basically made it work with a bunch of smaller films. And the way we do things there is we try to do a lot of what we call partnerships, which is organizations presenting films at the CCA, and us marketing them together. And so we work with, 50 or 60 different organizations over the course of the year. And we try to get their audiences into CCA and have them around the office. We call the Cinematheque the Santa Fe's living room. We're trying to bring people together there. And actually, I don't know if you've been over in a while, but we're almost finished with the renovation of the space too.
Oh, how wonderful!
We've redone all the sound, and you won't recognize the place when you walk in. We've done a complete interior design renovation. Rosario Provenza was the designer, and
awesome.
It's fantastic, and we're putting the final touches on it now.
428-1393 if you support independent cinema, if you support independent public radio, if you support independent thought, because ultimately this is about figuring out what you think and making your own decisions and having a whole lot of input and just not being fed the party line on anything. And some people say, oh, the liberal media, they feed you the party line. Well, actually, my experience is when you're walking around the world and you have public media, you have so many inputs. And when you have independent cinema, you have so many different inputs and so many different points of view that you learn to analyze, you learn to think for yourself. You get into arguments after the movie or after the broadcast and say, well, this person thought this, that, blah, blah, and that's what independent thought is all about. And independent thought is one of the main requirements of democracy. Hey, the 2 cards are already taken. Yay! 428-1393, 428-1393. But very, very important stuff.
Well, there's so many problems that we need to solve. Our generation needs to solve. And you know, and they're all huge problems. You know, we have problems with the environment. We've got problems with food safety. We've got problems with economic inequities. All of these things, none of these things are going to get solved without a really strong commons. You know, a place where we can gather and share and speak safely and share thoughts. And, you know, the corporate media and the commodity culture do not support that kind of commons. It's not
their job. It's antithetical to their mission.
Right. So all of the nonprofits, all of the arts spaces, all of the independent media in Santa Fe, these are the foundations of Santa Fe's commons. And the fact that we have such a strong commons here as opposed to a lot of places is the main, you know, reason that we were able to get some things done here. And so, you know, KSFR again is you know, it's right at the center of Santa Fe's healthy, productive civic life.
428-1393, 428-1393. I did a little calculation the other day. I looked up Glenn Beck's salary, and I did a little bit of simple arithmetic, and it turns out that his annual salary would fund 50 KSFRs, just the salary alone. And that's not including the production, it's not including marketing, studios, and all the other things that go into making that particular cable network, to which he's actually a contractor. He has his own media company, but he makes enough money to fund 50 entire, complete, whole public radio stations. So if you take all the different people who work in that capacity on cable news, feeding you what is basically some combination of opinion and misinformation, and you see what our tiny little media are up against. It's your classic David and Goliath situation. And we are this tiny voice trying to survive, but it's the voice of reason, it's the voice of intelligence, it's the voice of the information that you need to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, and if you understand that, and you still haven't made a contribution to KSFR, then what are you thinking?
Yeah, like I said, it'll feel good. I mean, you know, this is an upfront cost. You know, it's intentional. If you write a check to KSFR, it's as opposed to the hidden cost of us supporting Glenn Beck, because we do. You know, we support Glenn Beck when we buy a 6-pack of Budweiser. We support you know, NBC News when we you know, go to Albertsons and buy our Fruit Loops. But with independent media, we're making a choice to support it. So did you say that those two cards already sold?
Oh, yeah, they're already gone.
Really?
Yeah.
So can we do two more?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
428-1393, that gets you a punch card. If you make a contribution of $75, it gets you a punch card to get to, what, 8 movies at the CCA.
Right.
And it's worth it. And you know what's funny about those punch cards is when you have one in your pocket, you're more likely to go to the movie instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to shell out the, you know, few dollars that it takes to go in. You're more likely to get in your car and go to the CCA rather than stay home and watch, you know, Men in Black on cable for the 93rd time.
Well, you know, people with punch cards, actually, I think they take more chances, too. They see more, you know... They'll go see some of the more the stranger stuff. You know, we've got a film called The Woodmans about an art family, including a really gifted young woman photographer, opening on Friday. We've got the new Peter Weir film opening on Friday.
What's the new Peter Weir film?
It's called The Way Back.
What's it about?
It's about a group of men who escaped from a Soviet gulag and trek across the mountains in Mongolia to safety. It's Ed Harris and Colin Farrell.
Oh, my goodness.
A week from Friday, we've got a martial arts film opening, including launching it with a double feature.
A karate movie?
Yeah.
I love karate movies.
Ip Man and Ip Man 2. We're calling it Ip Fest on Friday night, a double feature for $5. So there's all kinds of cool stuff you can see at the CCA.
If you get your punch card, ladies and gentlemen, call and make a contribution. We still have a $1,000 goal for this hour. I'm not sure how far we are because I know the phones have been ringing, and I thank you for your...
for your calls and your contribution. Keep them coming. Mary Lynn.
Yes. You know, we've been so busy answering phones. Somebody wondered, did you offer more cards? We're not sure.
Yes, two more.
Two more. Oh, okay. Well, I'll let them know because it's been like crazy. We have several of that huge family anonymous to thank.
Yay.
And also a contributor in memory of Kyle Swanson.
Thank you.
And Barbara Fix, Ellen Miller, Marcel Legendre, Louis, and Louise Williams. And remember, this is all supporting not only KSFR, but the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness, thanks to a matching 10% contribution on the part of New Mexico Bank and Trust.
And that is wonderful. 428-1393. And in a few minutes, Mary Lynn will tell us how close to our goal we are, because we only have about 11 or 12 minutes left, and we need to reach that $1,000 goal with your kind help. 428-1393, that's the number. Hey, Jason, thank you for providing those punch cards. I love it.
That's my pleasure. We'd love to get KSFR listeners in. Speaking of which, we have a KSFR host who's going to be presenting at the CCA on, hopefully I'm going to get these dates right, on March 9th, which is a Wednesday. It's David Barsamian.
Nice.
And he is going to be talking about the revolutions in the Middle East.
Excellent. The revolutions in the Middle East, which are top news in a way that is endlessly fascinating and important to be living through such a huge revolution.
It's incredible to watch, isn't it?
Yeah. So, 428-1393 is the number, and independent media, independent cinema. I have to say, my life was definitely affected by independent cinema, and as much at the CCA as anywhere else. I moved here 20 years ago, and I started going to the CCA, which was at that time curated by Brent, the marvelous Brent Cleaver, who was almost maniacal in his passion for movies. And at the beginning of every movie, he would get out in front of the audience at the CCA in that nice theater, and he would talk about the film, he would talk about the history of that filmmaker, he would talk about academic film kinds of things that I'd never heard of. He always ended up talking about Kieślowski's Decalogue, and I thought, there's this world, I thought I was educated about film, there's this whole world of stuff that I have no idea about. And I remember actually seeing an African film made in Mali, whose plot I don't remember, but it was about these children, and it was called Yelim.
Brightness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so good that, and I've never seen it since. I suppose I should try to find it somewhere and rent it, but it was one of those films where you find your humility. You find that there's this whole world that you didn't know existed, and there's this whole way of seeing and thinking and looking that you didn't have. And that film gave me that. I'll never forget it.
And it wasn't made for commercial purposes.
Oh, no.
That's the great thing about all of these different strands. And it's all, you know, it's all one big picture in a sense. Did you read Paul Hawkins' book? Now I'm going to forget the name of it. It's a book about, it'll come to me when I start talking about the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of blessed unrest. It's a book about this movement that's people in their basements with a computer, up to, you know, Greenpeace and everything in between, big organizations, small organizations, arts organizations, social action organizations, you know, even religious groups and independent media. All of these people who are basically providing a kind of parallel structure to the commodity culture.
Right.
And he calls it the most powerful movement in human history. And I think it is. I think KSFR and CCA and all the other local non-for-profits are part of this movement that's basically offering, and independent filmmakers and independent media makers and writers who are writing outside of the corporate culture, all of them are providing this alternative to commodity culture that we need, that we deserve, that makes our lives richer, that actually provides a hedge against, you know, what would be kind of utter corporate control, which would be, you know, the end, I think.
It would be the end, and it would be the end not only because of kind of Orwellian doublethink and people's minds being essentially enslaved, but it would be the end of the environment because the oceans are very near to a critical state of, I mean, near death. And the sky is being polluted and the greenhouse gases are messing with the temperature of everything else and acidifying the oceans, all these things that everybody who listens to this show already knows. And that is ultimately a corporate phenomenon that is only countered by non-commercial media. That's it.
Right, we're motivated by different things. You know, we're motivated by a different vision. And BP's charter is not to maximize profit and protect the oceans. It's not to maximize profit and create stronger community. It's not maximize profit. And create love in the universe. It's to maximize profit, period.
Yeah.
And
they say, look, if you want us to do those things, pass a law. And then they lobby so that laws don't get passed.
It's a very problematic system in a lot of ways. But the thing that's really wonderful against that backdrop is how much resistance there is to that vision. And, all across the world, there are people who say this is not the way I want my world to be, and so they come in, they get themselves out of bed at 7 o'clock so they can interview people at 8 o'clock in the morning, we have an exhibit opening. You talked about it yesterday on Friday, and I'm sure a bunch of the CCA crew was up past midnight last night working to get that together, and it's a labor of love, and love in the bigger sense, love in the sense that, hey, we envision this a different kind of world than the one that is,
being fed to us.
Exactly.
We have more than broken the $800 mark. We want to get to 1,000, so let's get a couple more, 50 to 100 or more dollar contributions. 428-1393, 428-1393. Call and please bring us over the edge. 428-1393. And, when you talk about the vision for this country, it's something that I think everybody can be thinking about. What is their vision for their country? What is their vision for their community? And I think there's there's a kind of simplicity to it, which is living in relative peace, relative prosperity, having just enough, this is my own thing, what I want in my own life is just enough and a little more. And that little more is so that I can share it with others. And I think that's a worthy goal, not to want untold riches. I mean, if that's your thing, go for it, but then share it. But I think what most of us want is to have our families, to have our friends, to have an interesting life, to be of service, to do work that's fulfilling, to be safe, to breathe clean air, to know that we're safe in our homes at night. And how do we do that? What are the impediments to doing it? How do we think about it? And the way that we think about those things is precisely what public media allow us to do, is to really think about those things. So, 428-1393, 428-1393, get us over the edge. Mary Lynn.
Yes, we have so many people to thank. Jonathan Richards and Claudia Jessups.
Yay!
Scott Hughes.
Thank you.
Ben Swan.
Yay.
Stefan. I don't know if I said Barbara Fix earlier.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great, I did. And of course, our huge, huge supporting family of the greater northern New Mexico area, Anonymous.
Ah, yes.
Yes, yes.
That was a famous artist. I read about Anonymous in my art history classes. Go ahead. 428-1393, 428-1393. We're just about 4 or 5 minutes away from the end of the show, and Jason Silverman is the director of the CCA Cinematheque. And so let's once again talk about the things that you have going on. You are teaching, not teaching a class, you're giving a lecture, and you are showing the Semben film footage on Monday night, Valentine's Day. Ousmane Semben, the great Senegalese filmmaker, about whom you are making a documentary. What is this? What is the release date of this? Do you know yet?
We hope to have it finished by fall now. So we've got, it's been a grand success so far. Just, we've been able to get it together. We just received a fellowship from Sundance and a grant from Sundance in addition to the New Visions Award, and we're working with some really fantastic filmmakers. Our executive producer, Impact Partners, also produced The Cove, which won the Oscar last year. Andrea Medich is one of our co-producers, and she produced Man on Wire.
Man on Wire. We had her on this show. She's amazing. She's awesome.
And Grizzly Man and Encounters at the End of the World. Our editor is cut the film Enron, which was nominated for an Oscar, and five other Alex Gibney films, including Gonzo. And then Samba, who is really my hero, who's going to be giving this lecture on Monday night, has been studying Senben for 20 years. We have 20 years of research into this film. And actually,
he's a filmmaker and film scholar.
He's a film scholar. He teaches at Mount Holyoke, and neither of us self-describe as filmmakers at this point. I mean, maybe after we finish this film, we can do that. But Samba, he's a perfect example of the power of independent thought. He was a kid who grew up in tough circumstances on the border of Senegal and Mali, managed to get himself out of his village and to a high school in a nearby city, and was a star student. And being a star student in the 1970s in Senegal, even after independence, essentially meant learning how to be French. Studied French poetry, French history, French literature. There was no African material on the curriculum, period.
Despite the best efforts of Ousmane Sembène.
Despite. And so he said, you could wake me up in the middle of the night and I could recite Molière to you. But he was forgetting the stories that his grandmother told him. And when he was 17, a radical teacher gave the class a book called God's Bits of Wood to read. And that's Sembène's great novel.
Ah.
And it's set in West Africa. It's even got a character named Samba in it. And it's the story of resistance. It's a story of a strike that African workers held against the French, shut down the supply line in France by basically stopping the trains. Hit him in the wallet, basically. And at that moment, Samba had the light bulb go off over his head, said, I've got my own valid culture that I'm going to explore and celebrate. And that's what he's done ever since.
And we actually get to see him in the CCA Monday night at 6:30.
And it's free.
And it's free, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks to the New Mexico Film Office.
Jason Silverman is the director of the Cinematheque at the CCA. I want to thank you so much for being with us. And we have well broken our $1,000 mark. We're actually over $1,500. Thank you, listeners. Keep it coming, 428-1393. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And Marilyn LeBlanc is in the background.
Yes, sorry about that little big bleep there.
That's all right.
We can go to the top of the hour, too. It doesn't matter here. I wanted to thank David Steele and Pamela Eppel and...